The discipline of paleoanthropology is focused on learning about the origins of those who came before what we are now as humans. It typically uses fossils and other remains. One of the world's best-known paleoanthropologists is Lee Berger. He and his team discovered Homo naledi, which Berger describes as a fossil found in 2013 by some of his explorers. It was part of the largest collection of fossil human ancestors or relatives ever discovered in Africa. It was in a tiny chamber 150 feet below the ground. Berger is at the Mesa Arts Center tonight as part of the National Geographic Speakers Series. His presentation is called The Mystery of Our Human Story. Lee, how did you know where to look when you and your team discovered Homo naledi?
Well, we didn't. It was an honest answer to that. That is that about a few years before, I'd done a survey using Google Earth, and that actually is where I discovered the site of Malapa, where Sidiba came from. In the course of that, I'd found almost 700 new cave sites that were previously unrecognized by scientists. And effectively, these caves were all doorways into the underworld. I handed this map over to Pedro Boshoff, who was employed by me. He enlisted these amateurs who were physiologically appropriate, Rick Hunter and Steve Tucker, and down they went. And there it was, just lying there on the floor, this remarkable, remarkable assemblage, and almost the first site they went into in the first month they were actually working.
At what point were you convinced you had found something unique? Was it right away?
Well, the situation was unique right away. I'd never before seen or even contemplated seeing a fossil hominid remains. They were considered until recently to be the rarest sought-after objects on the planet, and these were just lying on the floor of a cave. We don't find them like that in South Africa. We find them embedded in concrete-like substances that we call breccia, and they're usually very difficult to extract. These appear to be lying there from the photographs. I, of course, have never been down into that chamber. We knew we were onto something pretty exceptional by about the second or third day of the expedition, and within a couple of days, we realized first that we maybe dealing with something new that we hadn't seen before. Secondly, that the situation itself was extraordinary, that we were sitting looking at a site that was yielding only these ancient human relative fossils. Nothing else was coming up. But the situation that we were witnessing was unprecedented in the history of the search for human origins. And we also were pretty clear that we had something pretty strange on our hands from the fossils themselves. The entire expedition was life-changing for me. I think it was life-changing for everyone involved. I went into this field almost 30 years ago with the expectation of probably never finding anything. Most people who do what I do never find anything in the field. The fossils are considered so rare.
At what point do you know, or at what point do you realize it may be, in fact, you know, we often, even those of us not in that particular business, will hear the phrase, the missing link, the missing link. It's going to help us sort of figure out part of our evolution as human beings. Is this, in fact, part of that chain?
Well, we don't use the term missing link, firstly. We now know it's much, much more complex than that, that the pathway to reach us here as the last surviving part of a huge family tree of fossil hominids. We went through a stage where we talked about a family tree. Then we moved to a bushy tree as we found more and more fossils, and genetics began to play in. Now that genetics and this incredible new fossil record, and it truly has exploded in the last sort of 8 or 9 years in an unprecedented way, we found in the last 4 years alone in South Africa more fossils than have been found in the previous 90 years of work. So it really has been unprecedented. We now understand it's more like probably a braided stream that was very, very complex, where some lines would drift off and vanish into the distance, but others would come back and join in. And today we're just that sort of big glacial lake at the bottom of that braided stream. That's what humans are today. It's kind of hard to tell who gave the most input into that. We only have, you know, bits and pieces of that at this stage.
So another question or two about Homo naledi. What are some qualities, Lee, that we would say definitely have some commonality with human beings that would remind us of ourselves? And how many years ago are we potentially talking about that Homo naledi was around?
Let me start with the first part is Homo naledi shares with humans a lot of the sort of basic things that all members of our family tree do what we call the hominids, or bipedal apes, effectively. In saying that, they walk upright. They have thick enameled teeth. Their teeth are actually very similar in size to that of modern humans. And they were, for at least these ancient human relatives, relatively tall. They came in at a sort of whopping 5 foot in height. And that's pretty tall for these more ancient looking or more primitive sort of members of our lineage. Their foot is almost identical to ours, which was a big surprise to our team. And they had long legs like we do. But that's about where the similarities stop. Their brains are tiny, about 450 to 550 cubic centimeters. They have a more prognathic face, so they would have been very strange looking. They have shoulders that are actually much more ape-like. How old they are, we haven't told the world yet. We will be very, very shortly. Those papers are just finalizing their review processes. I can tell you this, though. Homo naledi is so strange in its makeup and the way it looks, and so unexpected in its both primitive nature and very advanced features that we see in it, that any age it is going to be a real shock to the system of this science.
What do you think the current state sort of exploration is? Is there just a constant state of not quite knowing but having some direction where to look? Or even in what you do, could you potentially be surprised by something almost any time you do it?
15 years ago, we thought we had this all figured out. If you would read even the scientific literature, there were prominent scientists who were saying there are not going to be any big shakeups, that we've got the origins and the basic pathway of how our species came to be over the last 4 or 5 million years pretty much sorted out. It's just going to be micro discoveries. And in fact, to such a degree that there was an argument to stop training new paleoanthropologists. Well, literally 5 years later, our world began to explode as new discoveries started occurring, not only in Africa, but in Indonesia, with the hobbits being discovered, the Dmanisi fossils in Europe, and genetics began to play in. And then those fossils we're finding here in Southern Africa and fossils in Eastern Africa just tell us we hardly know anything. And that, you know, we're in an explosive moment of discovery, an explosive moment where anything could happen. I think it tells us that we've got a lot of finding to do, but at the same time, it tells us there's stuff out there to be found.
What is the duty of a paleoanthropologist to the rest of the world? Is there a greater responsibility than most of the rest of us have because you're making important discoveries that, if they're on target, they teach us so much about where we've been and even perhaps where we're going?
Even if they're not on target, even if these are they're real physical evidence. This is a big part of all the evidence we will ever have about where we as a species came from. There is an enormous responsibility for people to both understand that we are a product of a deep evolutionary past of things that were not human, that lived both in Africa and migrated out at times, spreading to become this incredible dominant species. What it teaches us, firstly, is, of course, that we are all an African species, and that in itself talks about the commonality of humankind, but it also teaches us that we are an intimate part and product of this planet. We're just another animal on it. We just happen to be a very sophisticated, very dangerous, and very damaging one to every other species that lives here. And that does carry a special obligation.
Paleoanthropologist Lee Berger is at the Mesa Arts Center tonight at 7:30 as part of the National Geographic Speaker Series. His presentation is called The Mystery of Our Human Story. Lee, thanks so much for the time.
My pleasure.